back. I was just checking. The last time I had a chance to be here with you guys was in mid-July, and so it's neat. It feels like an opportunity to catch up and so on. But again, just thank you for just all the time that you're able to help us as missionaries to support reaching into the neighborhoods that we're reaching. And so the outreach in November is something that we started actually in 2001. And so we have been feeding that particular community ever since. Our first outreach was to about 100-plus kids and families, more turkey sandwiches there in the apartments on 17th and Redwood Road. But then we surely went right into being able to feed a hot meal. And ever since then we outgrew the little facility we were in, our church building there. And for the last 3 years, we've been at Glendale Middle School. And there'll be probably 500-plus people that will be coming to get a hot meal. The cool thing is that we'll be able to, we've extended it now to where we're cooking a hot meal, but then we're also making to-go plates. And those to-go plates, we take those. As soon as our meal's done at this one location, we've got other places like apartment complexes that are being prepped and ready and doing an outreach so that as soon as we're done here, we're taking those hot to-go plates to the apartments. And we don't want anything to go to waste or to anything to feel like, oh, we have leftover this or that. So we're able to take them to the different apartments and just keep on going and blessing. And there's multiple groups that get involved with this outreach as it's grown. But I definitely would just love to see how you guys and some of you came, your family came last year, right, to help us with that. And so just a chance to go on from there. And so, well, I'm going to go ahead and dive into to the Bible, to the Word of God, and just put what I felt God's put on my heart for us in, you know, for the times that we're living today. I really believe we really need God's guidance in every direction. And so let me pray. God, I thank you, Lord, again, as we enter into your Word now. God, I pray that you help each one of us to understand what you have to say to us, Lord. Clearly, the Scriptures say, those that have an eye, let them see. Those that have an ear, let them hear. So God, help us to stay focused on what you have for us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to dive into 2 Chronicles chapter 1. I want to speak to you about Solomon. And I'm going to jump a little bit into some of the things about him. But I'm going to go ahead and start reading because I got a little bit of reading to do here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Solomon, son of David, established himself firmly over his kingdom, for the Lord his God was with him and made him exceedingly great. Then Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the commanders of the thousands and commanders of hundreds, to the judges and to all the leaders in Israel and the heads of families. And Solomon and the whole assembly went to the high place of Gibeon, for God's tent of meeting was there, which Moses, the Lord's servant, had made in the wilderness. Now David had brought up the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim to the place where he had prepared for it, because he had pitched a tent for it in Jerusalem. But the bronze altar the Bezalel son of Uri the son of Hur had made was in Gibeon in front of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Solomon and the assembly inquired of him there. Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord in the tent of meeting and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David my father and have made me king in this place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you. And I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king was established before you ever had, and none after you will have. And so this is pretty powerful right here, a lot of reading, but this is pretty powerful in that here you have Solomon, the son of David, inherits this kingdom. Prior to him asking for the Lord to give him wisdom, and a lot of us that maybe have studied the Bible, we've known Solomon to be, next to Jesus, the wisest man on earth of all history, according to the Word of God, that he had no one can beat him. And so here, if you look at it, it says that he already had riches. He already had prestige. He already had power. He was already a man of authority. He had everything that a person could ever want, being inherited down from his father, from David. But now we look at a place, even though on top of all that, the responsibility is what he looked at. He says, I've got a great responsibility to govern all these people. He said, who can govern all of these people? They have grown from being this tribe to now just outgrown, and there's so many issues going on. I want to take it back. It says he was at the altar, and at the altar he offered up 1,000 sacrifices. Now I want you to think about that. 1,000 sacrifices, where traditionally one sacrifice was for one sin. And so if you look at that scenario, he comes up before God and he basically goes through his entire heart and he's searching and says, okay, God, what do I need to repent for? What do I need to offer sacrifice for? When we come before the Lord, it should be one of humility. And we're asking God, God, search my heart, search my mind, search me. And yet, here's the thing. It wasn't just one sacrifice. It wasn't two or three. I mean, literally, he offered 1,000 sacrifices. I mean, he was probably covering anything and everything, maybe probably covering things he probably forgot. You know, just things like, I want to get as clear before God as anything that I can. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for this and forgive me for this. I want you to think back on your life. When was the last time that we really cleaned house in our own life? Because sometimes we have a tendency to make sin like in categories. Well, that's no big deal. That's not a big deal. This is the big sin. This is what I got to repent for. This is what I did. I hurt someone, or you know, I got angry, or I got whatever, and we categorize sin in such a way that a lot of the stuff that we do, we just out of habit do it, don't think it's anything wrong, and yet when we really dive into God's word, we find out, yeah, according to God, that's not right. According to His Ten Commandments, even thou shalt not lie, and yet many, maybe none of you, but I've had a tendency to, you know, say we'll call a white lie, or oh, that's this little fib. It's not a deep lie or something, and I have to go, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. So here he is cleaning out house, and he presents himself completely before the Lord. I mean, just think about it. Everything that I could imagine, I'm giving, and because of his pure heart, and because of his pure motive, God even says, he goes, because you did not ask for anything material, because you didn't ask for the death of your enemies. Anybody want to confess? How many have ever come before God for the death of your enemy? Your roommate, your partner at school, your work person, whoever, your neighbor, probably that neighbor. Oh, God. I mean, so here he said, because you did not ask for the death of your enemy, I will grant you wisdom and knowledge. In his present situation, he was overwhelmed with the idea of having this vast army and all the responsibility that had to come with it. It's bigger and larger than what even David had. And he says, my father could only show me so much, but this is even bigger than him. How am I supposed to deal with this? So God grants him wisdom and knowledge. And what's the difference between the two? Some people would think it's the same thing. Wisdom and knowledge, totally different. Knowledge is the ability to gather the facts. After you have pursued to look up and research and you've been able to gather information and now you have the knowledge, you've gone to school, you've done your study, you've done your preparation, you've done everything that you've had to, you've gained knowledge. Because you gain knowledge doesn't mean you have wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to make a decision based on that knowledge. What is it that you're going to do with all that knowledge? What is it you're going to do with everything that you have? I have met some people. I am very close to some people that have so much knowledge. And they'll let you know because of their degrees. And they'll let you know because of their experiences. And they'll let you know because of all their accomplishments. But I could tell you right now, they have no wisdom. Because some of the decisions that they've made has been so poor and so hurtful to so many. He didn't just ask for knowledge, the ability to know everything. But he asked for wisdom. And yet, when we find out about Solomon's life, we find out that he's one that wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes is a book that is totally dedicated to his life and the mistakes that he made in his life. So even for a man that knew better, for even for a man that had all the knowledge that you could imagine to have, he still, even yet having wisdom, made the poor choice. What does that mean? He had wisdom, but he made the poor choice. It goes to that concept, I knew better. Now, I'd be the first to raise my hand to say, yeah, there's been many decisions I've made, and I knew better, and yet I still went the way that I went. I knew better. I could plead ignorant, meaning I didn't know, and maybe that can get by the first time. I didn't know. But when I repeat, when I pursue something that I know is harmful to me, when I pursue something and I know better, I know. And listen to me. Even people that say they don't believe in God and people that don't even live for God, but they know about God. They've been trained. They have knowledge of God. Doesn't mean that they believe it. Doesn't mean they worship Him. Doesn't mean they serve Him. But they have knowledge of Him. And yet they make choices and decisions based on, they didn't use wisdom. Okay, for example, we just talked about here Florida, the leadership, the governor of Florida, for a week plus now, knowing that this was going to happen, he used the wisdom on the facts of what a hurricane could do. Now, they're in Florida. They've had experiences of hurricanes and wind storms and everything and rain all the time. But yet, just recently, the week before this happening to Houston, that he is looking at the facts. He's gathered all the info. He's heard all the scientists. He knows all the weather reports. He knows what's going on. And he pleads with everybody as much as they can. Please get out of Florida. And they have said in the United States, this is the largest exodus that's ever left a territory, an area. Never this has ever happened before. Many lives will be saved because of the wisdom of the leadership. A lot of people were mad at the leadership of Houston because when Houston got hit, the storm, they didn't know that the storm was going to be going directly into Houston. And so the direct leadership, the mayor and so on, they got reprimanded because they didn't put the alarm out. They didn't put to evacuate. Now, some of the other coastal cities in south of Houston, they knew they had to evacuate because according to the way the pattern was, that storm's going this way. But those storms are unpredictable. You don't know which way it's going to go. And it turned. And it hit Houston, surprisingly. And the leadership got hurt. And they got reprimanded. They said, why? Why didn't you warn us? Why didn't the alarms go off? And they're like, we didn't know it was coming our way. And it hit them. The guy over here used wisdom. He got the facts. He understood it. And he ran with it. Now, Solomon here, he asked, please give me wisdom. Yet in his history of his life, you find out that he made a lot of mistakes. But at the end of Ecclesiastes, he says, look, I've been there. I've done that. I'm telling you, all is in vain. All is in vain. There is nothing worth fighting for but living for God. All that people cling to, all that people want to do, all that people say is worth all this experience or that experience or this moment or that moment or this place or that place, it's not worth it. You could read through Ecclesiastes to find that out. And we get to the place that he writes the book of Proverbs. You see, the book of Proverbs is a book that he wrote to help people really break down detail of what is to have wisdom. People refer to Proverbs as the book of wisdom. How many of you ever kind of had where you've taken a Proverbs, like a proverb for the day type of thing. You ever done that? You know, and so, and you, I don't know if you understand or not, but again, Proverbs is a, when you read proverb, any proverb, it's basically like a sermon title. It's a small segment of words for a deeper thought. And you're supposed to like chew on each one of those. Well, when Proverbs was written, Solomon's actually speaking to his son. You could break up Proverbs in six categories, and the categories go like this. He's actually speaking to his son. And he's warning his son about the dangers of this world. And he's telling his son. And then he goes from telling his son directly, and people are actually gathering around him. Then he goes from telling his son, and he goes then to realizing that there's a group of people around him. And he starts now going from speaking to his son to speaking about his son, because now he's addressing the crowd. From addressing the crowd, he finds out that the people are more gathering, and he finds out that there's things going on, that he actually takes it from here, and he starts speaking to the crowd. From the crowd, he starts speaking about the difference between wisdom and foolishness. Now, every proverb in there just hits on these things. They're so random. Their thoughts are so random on all this. You can't get proverb, but he's trying to hit it. Solomon got to the place where so many people would come around him. So many people would gather around him because they wanted to hear. I don't know if that's ever happened to you before, where maybe you're speaking and next thing you know, people are actually just kind of walking because they want to know what you're talking about. You could tell when they're kind of being sneaky. They're kind of, you know, that ear just kind of, you know, goes out there and they're trying to listen to what you're saying. Or maybe you've done that yourself, where you know someone's talking, man, I really want to know what they're talking about. Well, Solomon was that person that just gathered so many people because every time he said something, it made sense. Every time he said something, it just came together. Every time he was doing something, people wanted to be a part of it. So he's talking about his son. He's talking about how to raise a son. He's talking about his son, how to live a healthy life. Well, maybe there were dads and moms out there saying, hey, I want to know. And in that issue, he deals with that. From here, he's talking about here. As he's talking to the crowd, not only talks about the difference between foolishness and wisdom, then he starts looking at a certain person in the crowd. He starts looking at a certain person in the crowd. Have you ever done that, where you actually are speaking to one person, but you're addressing the whole crowd? Think about what I'm saying here. He's trying to bring wisdom, but there's one person, let's say this person sitting right here. There's one person, I'm talking to everybody, but I'm looking at you. But I'm not literally looking at you. And that person knows I'm talking about them. Has ever been in a setting? Okay, Jesus had that situation. Remember Jesus in the upper room, and he says, the disciples ask him, well, who's going to betray you? And Jesus said, the one that I break the bread and I dip it, and the one I pass this piece of bread to. Literally, Judas had every opportunity to repent. Judas had every opportunity to repent because Jesus is saying, it's the person that I'm giving this bread to. In other words, Judas, it's you. I'm talking to you. You know I'm talking to you. You see, many times I've been in sermons, I've been in churches where it felt like the pastor preaching was preaching right to me, and yet he's preaching to the whole group. Well, Solomon had that effect on people. He was preaching to the whole group, but there was one person that he was actually speaking about and speaking to, but he addressed the whole crowd. And then the last part, he actually looks to the person. He starts, I'm talking to you. I'm talking about you. I'm trying to deal with you. My prayers, God, every day, please help me. Help me have wisdom and knowledge. Help me to have an understanding of who you are beyond anything that I could ever have done before. Because I need your help. In the times that we're living today, especially living as a Christian here in the United States, my friend, there are so many things going on and so many issues going on that people are going to be looking to you, and they're going to look at you to see if you're going to judge them. They're going to look to you to see if you're going to help them. They're going to look to see if you really care about them. Everyone's going to be looking at Christians in that manner, because right now, being a Christian isn't the most popular thing to do. So when people are looking to me, especially when they find out, hey, you're a missionary, you're a minister, I have to start praying, God, give me wisdom. But how about you at your work, your neighborhood? How about those of the people that you hang out with when they find out that you believe in God? Give me wisdom, Lord, so that I know that I'm making the right choice and I'm making the right decision. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 30. You see, Proverbs chapter 1 through 29 were literally Solomon giving this scenario and talking to his kid and talking and so on. But in Proverbs 30, the whole book ends on 31. But it says here in 30 verse 1, the sayings of Argur, the sayings of Argur, son of Jakeh, an inspired utterance. Now who is this guy? There's not much written about this guy whatsoever, other than this was one guy that was listening to Solomon. So much so that Solomon ended up discipling this guy. So much so that this guy now is one that is speaking and people are starting to listen to him. You see, when God gives you wisdom and you use that wisdom, that wisdom is like a pebble in a pond and it ripples and it takes off. When you use wisdom, it doesn't stop with you. It continues. It's like passing something on. God, give me wisdom. Wisdom is like, God, use me as an instrument and a vessel, because when you use wisdom and you make the right choice, you then pursue and you allow wisdom to pass on through you. And wisdom continues on. And here in this case, this is one of many, one of thousands maybe, of people that took the wisdom of Solomon and didn't just take it for himself, but then passed it on. So much so that in the Bible, this guy gets recognized. In the Bible, the Word of God, this guy gets his own chapter. Think about that. If God says, hey, we're going to write I want you to write a chapter. Write a chapter. What would you say? For the Bible, for the world, for all time, and I'm going to anoint it. Think about that. Okay, let's look at what this guy has to say. The first 9 verses we'll read. It goes on and on. It's really powerful. It says, the sayings of Argur, son of Jakeh, inspired utterance, this man's utterance to Ithiel. I am weary, God, but I can prevail. Surely I'm only a brute, not a man. I do not have human understanding. I have not learned wisdom, nor I attained to the knowledge of the Holy One, who has gone up to heaven and come down, whose hands are gathered up the wind, who has wrapped up the waters in a cloak, who has established all the ends of the earth. What is his name and what is the name of his son? Surely you know. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield for those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. 2 things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. And it goes on and on. The reason I stopped there is because, again, the rest of it is just really powerful. And I know I could just keep on reading. I really get fascinated by this stuff, because this guy here, who we don't even know much about him, but this guy right here, he learned something, and he's humble. First of all, he's humble, and he says, I don't know anything. He referred to himself as a brute. He goes, I'm not even a man. He referred to himself as somebody who's just wild and someone who's crazy. And he goes, I don't even know much about the God. I don't even know much about the Lord. But yet everything that you just read about what he stated, what he repeats, he actually does know about the Lord. And he's staying humble. If I'm getting anything out of this guy, what I'm learning is that Solomon asked for wisdom. He passes it on. It goes to this guy. This guy learns the wisdom, first of all, of staying humble. Second of all, he's passing on and he's repeating and he's sharing and he's taking for note for everything that Solomon said, and he's passing it on to everyone that would read this. I ask you, who are you passing wisdom on to? Maybe if anything today, that's the question. It's great to receive wisdom and our prayers answered and we do something God asks, we ask God for help. But what? Who are you passing wisdom on to? I mean, Moses had Joshua, Elijah had Elisha, Paul had Timothy. Do you understand? Barnabas had Paul. Barnabas helped Paul from the very beginning and raised him in what was going on in Christianity. I mean, you look through the scriptures, wisdom and the knowledge of God is being passed down by one person to the next person. All the way through. Eli had Samuel. I mean, we could keep going. There's just so many differences. You see, wisdom is actually wisdom when it's not just going to go to you, but it's actually going to go through you. The wisdom of the Lord is something that you cannot contain to yourself. When you ask for wisdom for a decision, well, Lisa, you're asking for wisdom. And you'll have the peace of God to know when that what that will be, to stay or to go. We understand that. But the decisions that you make, people are going to watch everything. When you say that you're of God, they'll watch everything. Your character, your attitude. They'll walk, see how you walk and how you talk and what you're doing. Because they're observing you because you've allowed them to. When you accept Christ in your life and you live a life for God, it's not just believing, but when you say, God, you're actually allowing people to look at your life like as though you were inside a fish tank, inside a fish bowl, where everybody could see everything about you. And I've got nothing to hide. Just like Solomon, hey, I'm cleaning up. I'm sharing everything about me. I'm throwing it all out there. And God, I'm not hiding nothing. I'm not trying to keep anything away. I want you to see me. Even Paul says, if you want to see a good Christian, he goes, look at me. If you want to see, but at the same time, he's saying, but I'm not really a good Christian because I'm like the chief of sinners. I've done this and I've done that. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. I mean, it's this ongoing battle of humility. But literally, he's saying, look, but if you want still an example of how to be a Christian, look at my life. Look at me. So the challenge and the question is this. Who are you passing wisdom on to? Who right now, think about it. Who in your life right now are you sharing wisdom to? I got a neighbor. I got a person at school. I've got a family member. You see, the idea is if you want wisdom to flow in you, you got to let it flow. Can't just have wisdom to answer God, answer my needs only, answer, be there for me only. But wisdom, in the times we're living, my friends, we need to pursue God to ask Him for wisdom and to ask Him for knowledge, to know what to say and to know what to do. I mean, you can read through scripture that says God allows that rain to come and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And here we got people in Christianity saying that this, all these storms and everything going on is the wrath of God coming down. And then you got the world over here saying it's Mother Nature being mad at the U.S. because Trump's president. I mean, okay, so how do you cipher that? You're the woman of God. You're the man of God. You're the person. Tell me, what does the Bible say? Oh, I need wisdom. How do I get wisdom? I got to be willing to pass on wisdom. I got to be able to share, get into God's word, dive into what He's saying, and find out who He is. You know, wisdom's telling me right now to wrap this up. I'm gathering the knowledge of the faces around you, like, and I'm realizing. Let's pray. So God, we thank You so much for who You are. Solomon, Lord, clearly had everything already. There's many people, Lord, that have so much and they feel like, I don't need You. I got it all. I got it because of my name. I got it because of my ability. I got it because of my knowledge and my strength and my character. I don't need You, God. But yet, Solomon had it all and he still asked for wisdom. He asked for knowledge. And yet You granted it to him. He didn't keep it to himself. He had to battle out the day-to-day issues of life. And Ecclesiastes clearly states how he blew it many, many times. How he wasn't able to live according to Your word. But later repents. Proverbs, Lord. He goes into detail in trying to pass on to his own son how to live a good life and how to live a godly life. But Lord, he addresses the crowd and he addresses even us today. And so God, we pray as we read your word, we read about the wisdom that we actually do it. We know what needs to be done. We know how to make the right choice. We know how to make the right decision. Forgive us, God, for just doing our own thing. There is a battle inside. Lord, we want to lean your ways. So God, right now, we pray that you send me someone I can pass wisdom on to. Help me, Lord, to unclog my life, Lord, so that I can bring it all out on the open and I can, God, just be clean and have nothing to hide. Help me, God, to help others. Help me to be able to make a difference in someone else's life. Give me wisdom, just like Solomon prayed, so he could properly lead these people. Give me wisdom so I could properly lead someone to you. Give me wisdom. Lord, I thank you. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up right now.